Today is a Sanctity of Life Sunday, and as we share today, we're going to be learning a lot about what God has to say about His truth in regards to life. And I just wanted to start today because many of us have things that we need, and we have wants in our world, and so I brought out of the Sunday paper a one-ad list. And it is amazing how many things that we need, that we advertise for things that are, that we want in our life, we feel are needed in our life, and it covers a whole gamut, a whole area of things that we desire and have to be a part of our life. And some of these one ads in this paper have included employment, such as wanted, teacher, doctor, truck driver. Many professions are wanted in order to serve in the area of what we're going to pursue in our life for a career or a calling. Housing, another area. Wanted a roommate to share an apartment or a house for rent or to buy. Some other areas might include purchases. Want ads for such as a wanted junk car. We'll pay top dollars. And if you're in that area, I want to speak to you because I have a Chevy, 84 Chevy S10. I'd like to sell you right after church. Entertainment. Maybe there's areas of movies and operas and plays and music, all kinds of areas of entertainment. Maybe they want singers to go on a world tour. Military duty. Uncle Sam wants you serving in the military, doing your duty for country. Another one might be in the area of just companionship, such as wanted a Colorado bride for an OM missionary. You know, life is full of want ads, but you know something that touches many of our lives that we don't advertise for are the unwanted things. The unwanted things we would never put an ad for on our door. We would never put in a newspaper to say, please call us. These unwanted things that we would never put a want ad for might include the ugly or the unemployed, the old, the weak, the guilty, the simple-minded, the dirty, the lonely, the smelly, the garbage. And the list of unwanted things can grow into a mountain of things. But certainly, one of the most unwanted things in our world today has been truth. We have alienated ourselves from the truth of God's Word. And in part one, we want to look at where this all began, with the fall of man, man's fall from truth. And it all began way back in the garden when Adam and Eve first began to express their pro-choice mantra that there are many ways that can lead to truth, many things that can lead to life, many things that I might enjoy and be happy with other than being subservient to God and His truth. Eve was deceived into believing that her way in this world was more supreme than God's, and Adam embracing that, knowing, giving his full blessing to this demise of truth, partook of that and ate of the fruit, knowing that it would be apart from God. The nature of man was now void of the one and only truth of God. All of man hereafter would become separated from God. They would live an unholy and sinful life. A life that would be in constant rebellion against truth. The human race, made in the image of God, had lost the sacredness of life. The ramifications of embracing this deception of Satan's has caused man to rail against God and to rail against His truth. And it brought man to the brink of his utter destruction when God finally declared His judgment on this sinful and deceptive area of man's life. And so He condemned man into the destruction of a flood. Except for one man who found grace, Noah and his wife, his three sons and their wives. Man was going to be wiped off from the face of the earth. Now I don't know if you've ever seen in our nursery, there used to be this wonderful little picture of an ark. And outside of the window the neck of a giraffe, and then there was an elephant and a dove, and they were all smiling, and there was this beautiful rainbow, and they were taking this beautiful cruise across the Caribbean. Unfortunately, the flood was not that way. The flood was a terrible, horrendous, agonizing judgment that man faced because of his denial and his unwillingness to seek God and His truth. I don't know if you've ever experienced drowning or partial, but in my life, when I dream and am horrified and have nightmares, it is of drowning. Drowning and being lost. Drowning away from God's truth. Drowning away from His life. In part two, not only have we fallen away from truth, but we brought death to the truth. And in the Bible, in John 18, verses 37 and 38, we enter into a discussion where Jesus is encountering a conversation with Pilate at the time. And Pilate asks him, he says, "Are you the King of the Jews?" And Jesus says, "It is true that I am the King, but this kingdom is not of this world. It is of another kingdom. And I come here to bear witness to the truth of that kingdom." And Pilate looks at him and he goes, "What is truth?" Much as many of us would ask today, what is truth? Scholars and people engage in all kinds of arguments of whether truth even exists today. And so, because Pilate was scared of the crowd, he was in a place of government, he needed to pacify the Roman Empire, mankind, with the crowd screaming out in the courtyard, Pilate gave them what they wanted. The death of truth. The death of Jesus' life and His witness to this world. And they crucified that truth on the cross. And truth died an agonizing death because it was unwanted in the world. It was unwanted by those who were there to receive it. Part three. It is great to know that even though truth was put to death, God had a plan to resurrect His truth. And I want to read with you from John chapter 20, verse 24 through 31. And if you'd like, you could follow along with me if you would. And we're going to open the truth of God's Word and read of another encounter that Jesus had with one of His disciples about the truth. The truth that had come back from death. Starting in verse 24, we pick up this account. It says, "And now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus had came. And so the other disciples told him," he says, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said to them, "Unless I see His hands in the mark of those nails, and that I can place my fingers into the mark of those nails, and place my hand into His side, I will never believe." And it was 8 days later that His disciples were inside again, and this time Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And then He said to Thomas, "Put your finger in here and see my hands. And put your hand and place it in my side and do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said to him, "You have believed because you have seen me. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet will believe." You know, the truth that we laid on the cross could not be shouted down by a crowd, could not be intimidated by the brutality of a cross, and it could not be shrouded in a grave. The amazing thing is that there is nothing that can overcome the power of God's truth. Jesus revealed this truth in His life. He revealed it in His death. and he revealed it in his resurrection. Thomas was very fortunate. He had a face-to-face encounter with this indisputable fact that the truth of Jesus was alive. The truth of God's Word had been resurrected. And because he had this face-to-face encounter, he believed and trusted and had faith. And this trust that he placed in the truth of Jesus would mark him as a man that would be transformed for all eternity. And the same truth, the same resurrection, that same power that Thomas experienced is here and alive today, for truth has risen from the tomb. It does not lay stagnant or dead. In part four, we see Jesus coming with a truth proclaimed. And we observe on this Sanctity of Life Sunday that we must recommit ourselves to a biblical truth. That truth is a gift from God and that we must value and protect life. That truth is that life is a gift from God. God's Word teaches us that the Lord Jesus is the very source and sustainer of all life. John 1, verse 4, the first part of it says, "In him was life, and the life was the light of men." We're going to look at six areas in which we find out that the very essence of Jesus, the very truth of his word, is all about life. Everything he came for and everything he created and everything he sustains is about life. In the first one, we see that Jesus is the creator of life. All things were made through him and for him and by him. In John 1:3, it declared that he had created life for his glory and for the fulfillment of his purposes. And Jesus is also declared in Acts chapter 3 verse 15 that Jesus is the very author of life. That he authored the book of life. And in that book, it describes to us the tremendous gift that he has in providing life to his creation. And Peter stood before a crowd after in Acts and was declaring to them this tremendous truth that this is the author of life that you killed, but now has been raised from the dead. And if you'd be willing to take an imaginary journey with me into this book of life, you could imagine turning the pages and getting halfway through, when all of a sudden, in the fullness of time, God declares what's going to take place. I can imagine the angels in the marketplace and in the streets and in the schools and whatever goes on in those heavenly hosts, all of them coming. The fullness of time has arrived. God's going to reveal to us how he's going to fulfill his promise to cover by faith his promise to Abraham and Isaac and Adam and Seth and Enoch and David. How are they going to stand non-condemned? How is he going to redeem them? For they've been condemned by their sins. What is God going to do? And so the hosts of heaven come into these hallways and these chambers of God. And God declares his tremendous message of how Jesus Christ is going to take their place and is going to put his condemnation on his own son. And he is going to bear the wrath and the death for the condemned. And the men of faith will receive the righteousness of Christ. Now, can you imagine the angels hearing this? I can imagine the archangels and the leaders coming, "God, the price is too high. Release us. Let us go and condemn these men for their sins. For the price is too high. Jesus is too sacred." And Jesus tells them, he says, "In the garden when I formed man out of the dust, I breathed into him life. And that life I created in my image, in my likeness. And I will redeem my own. And Jesus authored the book of life. Jesus also is the word of life. And in 1 John 1 we see that that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, and which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. Jesus says that in John that He is the Word of God, and the Word of God came to live with us and among us in the flesh, incarnate in the life of Jesus. The words that Jesus spoke were truly the life that He would have imparted to His people. Jesus is also the bread of life. John 6:35 said, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. What in the world does that mean? Is Jesus wrapped around a Big Mac and Burger King, such as a Big Mac at McDonald's? Is he the bun? Is he the rolled up yeast of bread that we eat in our daily consumption? What bread of life is he? In Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, it says, man does not live by bread alone, but by the word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. The bread that Jesus brings to us is not something that we consume in our physical sustenance that we need every day. But the bread that Jesus brings is the life that we can have in Him as He laid down His life and gave it in a brokenness that we might have an eternal relationship with God. His life became the bread that we need to live on for eternity. And we thank Him and trust in Him that He has been faithful to feed us and sustain us through His abundant life that He has provided, through the bread of life which He has provided. And number 5, it says in John 10:10, it says, not only this, but Jesus is also the abundant life, that the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus, I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. Now, I don't know about you, but my life is very busy. I am busy with things about work and things about learning and things about family and things about cars and things about houses and things about people and things. Is your life like that? Is it busy? Is your life so active and full that you don't seem to have time for other things and priorities and other things that come into your life? Is that the kind of fullness or abundancy that Christ was talking about? An over-accelerated busyness that consumes every minute and day and second of our time? Was He bringing to us a different kind of abundancy? An abundancy where we would walk in the purpose of life, in knowing that our life is spent in the fullness of what God intended it to be? Was His abundancy for us to dwell in a relationship that would exceed all others and it would captivate the very meaning of our life? In Colossians 3:4, Jesus says that He is the very essence of our life. Jesus is our life. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. As we look at these 6 points, the truth is that Jesus is all about being pro-life. He has set Himself as the creator and author, the word, the bread of life, the abundant life. He is our life. There can be no life outside of knowing Jesus. There can be no understanding of what the purpose or why we're alive without Jesus. Unfortunately, as we look at what Jesus has proclaimed and look at His Word. We've come to another part where much of our world and much of our society declares this very much an unwanted truth. It wasn't long, over 230 some years ago, that a group of men gathered to sign a very important document. It was a document called the Declaration of Independence. And it was for these men a standard bearer for the beginning of a nation which they had trusted and put their faith in, a book and a word that would give birth to a nation that would be a place that men would be able to seek without persecution or without intolerance, a word of truth. This document called the Declaration of Independence was based on this only truth. And it was given to man through this Almighty God, through these founders who established this document. And if we were to read this document from 230 some years ago, it would read like this. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that all are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and that among them are life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. These men knew what to build a nation on. Truth. A Creator. Life. A pursuit of liberty and freedom in that life. One that would fill the happiness and the abundance of the human man. Unfortunately, in our day, if we were to look at this document and we were going to write this document today, we would have a very different look at this. In fact, it might sound very much like this. We hold to the fact that there is no truth, that all humanity, animal life, and earthly matter have been formed into existence through the process of evolutionary science over billions of years. Knowing that there is no design or intelligent aspect to life, the outcome of all life is left to its own survival. It is so clear that in today's world, that the truth that God wanted to reveal in the hearts of men is unwanted today. Denying this truth has brought us to a point today where we mourn. We mourn over a 35-year anniversary of a Supreme Court decision of Roe versus Wade. For this decision declared that babies in a womb are unhuman or non-persons. These are void of all rights and any protection of the law. This great deception has ended the lives of some 50 million babies in the United States alone, and over hundreds of millions worldwide. These babies have fallen into the category of the unwanted in our time. The unwanted. They have linked arms with an unwanted Creator who sent an unwanted Savior, who proclaimed an unwanted truth that is now lived out in the lives of unwanted believers. You know, we should not be surprised at this outcome. Jesus said that the world would hate those because of Him. It would hate the believers. And all this would seem to send us really into a hopeless state of despair if it was really not for one glorious truth. The fact that God works in our world through the unwanted. He has shed His tremendous truth, and He has worked His sovereign plan. He has displayed His mighty miracles, and He has redeemed the lost from darkness all through the unwanted things of this world. God delights and loves the unwanted. He has put the unwanted ad out for us. The unwanted are the very hallmark that God uses for ushering in His kingdom. The truth of God's Word and the life, the sanctity of life that He created it to be. Even though it may be unwanted in our world, it's too costly to go unheard. And we need to be able to walk in a way where the truth of God's Word and the importance of life and the sanctity and the preciousness of not only the unborn, but of each and every person that God's created is special. And He paid a huge price to call it His own again. And we just need to be faithful in the areas that God brings us, in the arenas, in the places where He calls us to dwell, to be a true witness to that, and to not let life and His Word go unheard. Father, we just want to thank You. I thank You for this young boy that You created, who even today through this video just testifies to the awesomeness of life, to the fact that it is paramount in Your eyes, God. It is so important that You would send Jesus, the tremendous cost that it cost heaven, to redeem these lives that You created in Your image. And that is so important, Lord, that we declare in our world, even today, something that most people don't want to hear. There is a God who loves life and loves them and created them and wants them to be a part of a purpose and a plan that, Lord, every life from the unborn to the old would be sacred to You. And that life would not be just in the hollows of this earth, but it would be a life given to be lived in a relationship for all eternity with God. We thank You, Lord, for Your Word. We thank You for Your truth. We thank You that You have given, Lord, the ability for us to understand and walk with wisdom. We thank You now, Lord, and we just lift our hands to You. And we praise You in Jesus' name. Amen.